Now, if the thought of a brisk walk to the shop seems rather too strenuous, this next item might prove particularly exhausting. For the author and broadcaster John Pilkington has just walked the best part of 1,000 miles down the so-called Royal Road in Peru. It took him 8.5 months. This was the main route across the Andes Mountains during the height of the Inca era in the early 1500s. It linked what is now Quito in Ecuador to Cusco in Peru. John describes it as a sort of Inca M1.
3 times this month I've seen Peruvians at their very best. The first time was approaching the river Crisnejas, one of the upper Peruvian tributaries of the Amazon. The Royal Road dropped steeply down to the river, but I found a splendid campsite on a high grassy ledge. Normally I'd have called at the nearest house to say hello and ask permission, but it had been a long day and this time I just pitched my tent. Towards midnight I woke up to hear a great commotion in the darkness. Men were shouting, a torch flashed, and then rocks hit the canvas and the tent collapsed. Desperately I untangled myself and scrambled out. 8 men tightened their grip on rifles. Who was I? What the hell did I think I was doing there? They were ronderos, a vigilante patrol from a village being threatened by one of the last remnants of Shining Path, the movement which terrorized Peru in the late 1980s. They assumed I was one of these terrorists, and not unreasonably, they were ready to shoot. Trying not to panic, I explained what I was up to. I was just walking the Inca Road to Cusco. Yes, walking. Even to me it sounded a flimsy excuse for a gringo to be camping on their patch. But eventually they were satisfied. We shook hands solemnly and they melted away into the night. Terrorists are a rarity in Peru at the moment, but I had blundered into one of their strongholds and was just incredibly lucky that these frightened men were willing to listen to me. A few days later, I was in the scorching Mantaro Gorge. The descent had been knee-cracking, but I crossed the river to find the village of Iscuchaca in full fiesta. The elders led the fray, dancing round the square to the drums and trumpets of a brass band. Picking my way around the revellers, I must have looked like someone from Mars, and of course they dragged me straight away into the heaving crush. I have to tell you that my John Travolta days are over. My knees were still shaking, and I clung desperately to a very old man, a real grandee, as we did a sort of circular shuffle. A bucket of chicha, or maize beer, was passed around, and as I accepted my third glass, I knew the afternoon's walking was going to be difficult. At midday, they let me leave. The Royal Road soared skywards. The heat was stifling, and gradually I began to notice that all the streams were dry. I hadn't filled my water bottle, and now the sweat poured off me, the tiny cooling breeze making no impact at all. Late in the afternoon, high above the river, I came gasping to a village. Was there any water there? No, they said. We get it from up the hill. Then, seeing my state, they gave me a jug containing 2 mouthfuls of tepid, muddy water. Without this, I'm sure I wouldn't have survived. It was another 3 hours before I found the bubbling spring which supplied the village. That moment was one of the best of the whole walk. I put down my head and drank. But now night had fallen. In total darkness, I found a patch of grass, banged in the tent pegs, crawled into my sleeping bag, and slept. I was dimly aware of a distant rumbling, and at dawn I discovered what it was. I put my head out of the tent to find myself looking over a 3,000-foot cliff. The sound was the river Mantaro that I'd crossed the previous day. My tent was 3 feet from the edge. The next week, I was climbing slowly out of another gorge when I came to a collection of huts called Tambo Pampa. I peered inside the village shop, hoping for some bread and cheese. The place looked derelict, and I was about to leave when suddenly a young man appeared. "Hello, gringo," he said. "You're the answer to my prayers. I run the school here, and I'm just desperate for someone to open our sports day and judge the teams." There wasn't time to argue. He dragged me to the school and gave me a microphone. I asked in a whisper what the school was called, then declared the day well and truly open. And as the teams filed past, I sized them up in three categories: presentation, deportment, and martiality. You may be wondering about the martiality. So was I. It turned out to involve each team leader addressing the platform with a sort of kung fu salute and a ha zo. I felt like Winston Churchill inspecting the troops. I totted up the scores, announced the winners, and consoled the losers. Then, with great ceremony, the headmaster presented me with a bag of bread, cheese, and roasted maize, and the whole school clapped. How wonderful to be an instant VIP.
And with that from John Pilkington, walking the Inca M1, we've reached the end of the road. I'll be back on Saturday at 11:30, and I hope you'll join us then. Goodbye.